Well, we've heard of 4 days, and VBS was 5 days. And guys who were here, who was the fifth reminder? Who was our fifth character? Rocket. Let's say it together. Rocket. And there's a picture of Rocket. And does anybody remember what Rocket told us? Christopher? That's right. No matter where you are or where you go, trust God. Does anybody remember what the scripture was? Let's all read it together. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged. That's right. And that is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Actually, there's a little bit more if we look at the scripture from that passage from scripture. There is a little part before that when God is talking to Joshua. Verse 9, the full verse is, I hereby command you, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And when I was thinking about this, excuse me, I found out the importance of a pulpit is to have a water source. When I was thinking about this passage, I had a thought that probably it's appropriate that I get up here. It's not exactly a fit, but it's close. I thought of Star Trek. Yes, and this isn't quite the Enterprise, but it'll do. Now I'm an old school guy, and I'm thinking about the old Star Trek, not the other versions or the movies, but the very beginning. What did Captain Kirk talk about in the very opening of Star Trek? What was the mission of the USS Enterprise? To boldly go where nobody's ever been before. To boldly go. In essence, that's what Israel had been doing. It had been a tumultuous 40 years for Israel. They had left their home in Egypt. Yes, I say home. They were slaves there, but it was also a place where it was their home. That they were familiar, and even though the conditions were harsh and we could say even brutal, it was in some ways comforting because they had a home, they had a place, and for the most of the time they had enough food. Even in the brutality of the slavery, for them it was a home, and so there was some sense of security. They had left that home, all that they had known. They had been there 400 years. Everybody who left at the Exodus, that had been the only home they had ever known. Going to live and to spend 40 years, of course they didn't know it when they left, to spend 40 years wandering in the wilderness. And now in this passage, they are at the very beginning, just across the river from the Promised Land. Except Moses had died. So try to think about it. They had been wandering in the wilderness, and again, all those who were about to enter the Promised Land, they had never known a time before Egypt. They didn't even know Egypt. All their lives they had been wandering. They had been following Moses, who in their minds and in their experience, he had actually been in the presence of God. God spoke to and through Moses. And now Moses was dead. So they're waiting to go into the Promised Land, and they've lost their leader, and they know that on the other side of the river in that Promised Land, even though God has promised it to them through their ancestors, they're going to have to contend with the people who were there, who were going to be fighting for their home. So you can imagine why Joshua got this call and why maybe this was an important word from God, telling Joshua, Joshua, you're going to fill Moses' sandals. You're going to be the one. And you're going to take this nation who's been wandering, you're going to claim the land, yes, that I have designated for you, but you're going to be the one claiming it. You are to go and know that I am with you. And in the context of this passage in 1 Joshua, they know that God is with them because they're taking the law with them. And in their understanding, it is through the law, through their adherence of the law, that God will be with them. And even though they're in a strange land, even though they've lost the leader, the only leader they've ever known, they know that God will be with them because they are carrying forth the law, even if they're following a new leader. But still, you can imagine they would have felt vulnerable. And their understanding, they had no identity because the identity came from two places, your ancestors and your home, and they didn't have any one of those. All their ancestors were dead. Their home was gone. Their home had been a wilderness. All they had was the word that had been told to their new leader, Joshua, that had been, he had been chosen by God. You can imagine if I had been in their shoes or sandals. I would have been nervous. I would have felt some degree of vulnerability because this wasn't just change. This was as drastic a change as you can imagine. With a new leader trying to find and take over a new land that had been promised to you, and all you have is the word of God, who you really haven't seen except through your previous leader who is now dead. They felt vulnerable. In many ways, they felt perhaps alone. Have any of you ever felt that way? Have any of you ever been maybe on a wilderness or been about to embark on a new journey, a new challenge, a new chapter in life, and you weren't sure how things were going to turn out, and you felt nervous, you felt vulnerable, maybe you felt alone? I've felt that way time after time after time. You know, we've talked about it, right? Every time a Methodist minister goes to a new church, you feel this way. Every time a church gets a new minister, you feel that way. Anytime you go from, say, home into preschool, preschool into kindergarten, remember you guys and girls that are in elementary school, maybe some of you that are going to junior high, maybe you're a little nervous. It's a bigger school, and you don't know your way around, and you're going to be the youngest again. And then when maybe those who are in junior high, you go to high school, and you're the same thing. And those who are graduating from high school, maybe you're going to college or going to be finding a job. Again, it's a new time, and that is a time when you feel vulnerable. You wonder what's going to happen. I have been, again, in that place. The most profoundly that I can think of was when I graduated from college and took a job working up in Washington. And, you know, when I left home to go to college, I went a whole 4 miles. So I didn't have much experience in, quote, leaving home. But I was going up to work in Washington. I knew I had a place renting a room from somebody, but I had no friends. Certainly my parents weren't going to be there. I wasn't going to have the nurturing environment, say, that a college would provide had I gone away to a college. I remember driving those 1,200 miles to Washington, every mile dreading that I was going closer. In fact, when I stopped for the night in, I think, Nashville, halfway there, I even thought about turning back. In fact, I even called my boss to tell her I was going to turn back, and she didn't answer. So I thought, well, okay, and I went on. I was scared. This is going to be a new thing, and I didn't see it as an adventure, as this and that. I was just nervous, and some people are easier able than I to see that as an adventure and to go forth, to boldly go, but I wasn't. I felt vulnerable. But yet what I couldn't see was that there were people there who were going to help me, who were going to take care of me, or at least help me find my sea legs or my DC legs, so to speak. In fact, when I drove into Washington on a Sunday afternoon, I was going to be going to this person's house that I had arranged through somebody that worked up there, that had worked in the office that I was going to be at, and she had arranged that I was going to rent a room from this lady behind Capitol Hill. I go knock on the door, my car, my 1980 Ford Buick is all packed with everything, you know. Go up, knock on the door. Hi, I'm here. And she goes, well, I didn't know how to get a hold of you. I've changed my mind. I don't want to rent the room out. Here's a paper. Maybe you can find some new rooms. Well, I'd gotten to a hotel, and I called, and ended up I was able to stay and take over the rent from an apartment from one of the people in the room who had moved to house. It all worked out. And I had people up there. Even though I couldn't see them, there were people who were there that were going to help me get established. But I couldn't see. All I could see was that I was going around in a new area, and I couldn't see what was ahead of me. Now, the reality is, ultimately, that is the shape that we are all in. We never really have a perfect picture of where we are and what's coming. In Paul's words, we all, even in this life, we see through a glass darkly. Now, when we're in the midst of a hometown and when we're doing things, sometimes it's maybe sort of like those sunglasses that go, you know, they get darker and lighter. Sometimes the mirror, the glass isn't quite as dark, and we can see ahead of us, but we never can see fully around the next curve. And we often don't even know when the next curve is coming. That is the reality that we face. Even when we're established and set and not planning on moving, we know that because of the world, there are bends in the road. And we can't always see perfectly around those bends. We have a God who does see, who has 20/20 vision, or even better than 20/20 vision. God can see perfectly, and God can see not only, God sees the big picture, knows where our road is bending and turning and what's coming ahead. God can see the big picture, but God can also see in the micro. God sees the macro, the wide angle, and God also sees through the telephoto. God knows us. God can see us directly. God knows our fears, knows our strengths, knows our weaknesses, knows our weak spots, knows our strong suits. And God also knows what's coming. God knows how to provide for us. So even though we can't see beyond the next turn, or sometimes we can't even see when the turn's coming, we don't have to. Because God does. And though we can't see the road, what we can do is experience God's love and know that God is with us, just like it was with Joshua. God is with us always. And we are never outside of God's presence. We are never outside God's love. God is there to care for us. God is there to nurture us. God is there to take our hand and lead us and sometimes carry us, if you know the old footprints in the sand story. We don't have to see because God is there to see for us. All we have to do is rely on God. All we have to do is put our faith in God, and God will provide for us. As I said, the Israelites had the law. That was what, when they went into the new land, they were carrying the law. That was their understanding of God going with us, with them. With us, it's not the law that goes forth. It's God is with us through Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ and by the Holy Spirit, God is with us. We are in the presence of God. We can feel touched by God. We can reach out and experience God. Not just hear about God, not just think about God, not just hear about somebody else or even a law. We know God personally. And God knows us, cares us, loves us, provides for us. We can trust God always because of God's love for us. And we can never be outside of God's awareness. We can never be outside God's love. Nothing, again, as Paul says, can separate us from God. So for us, in some ways, we're like the Israelites in Joshua's time. We don't know what's coming, and there's a promised land and a promised time ahead, but we don't know what's on the other side. But we do know that God is with us now, that God will be with us then, that God will provide for us because of God's love. God will take care of us. We don't know exactly how, we don't know exactly what form. And this world is full of uncertainties, and our lives are filled with uncertainties, except for the certainty of God's love, God's provenience, God's grace, and God's presence. So with that, with God with us, let us boldly go into life that's ahead of us with the power of the Holy Spirit leading the way for us. May we always trust God. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are grateful for your love for us, a love that allows us to not have to see the way, but only see you as the way, to put our trust in you. You who know perfectly, you who love perfectly, will provide perfectly for us. Ways we don't know and understand, but we do know of your love for us. May we seek that out in the midst of our times of assurance and also our times of uncertainty. May we always seek you, your love for us out, as has already been demonstrated and proved time and time again, especially and ultimately through the gift of Jesus Christ. May we look and trust you always. For we pray in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.